our understanding of the First Amendment is changing. New communication technologies are changing the legal state of play. They are pushing lawyers, judges, scholars to rethink old doctrines and concepts, including in the context of covering protest. Ours is an industry in which the gathering, production, distribution of content is widely dispersed, and the challenge for the First Amendment is to keep up. It is to breathe life into the freedoms of speech and press, no matter the media of the day. Lots of journalists have asked me about recording police activity since the Occupy Wall Street movement began to generate headlines back in 2011. And the short answer is, generally, you can do that. The First Amendment protects the recording of government officials in public spaces. That is what nearly every court in the country has ruled when confronting that issue. Too many journalists believe that the First Amendment immunizes them from liability for general crimes that they commit in the course of news gathering. And that is simply not the case. I think that trespass is a classic example of that. So in most states, it is completely fine to approach a person's home or business to ask the owner or the occupant whether she will, let's say, agree to be interviewed. But once that person refuses or says to you that you should leave, remaining there could create liability. And you also cannot enter private property simply because news is occurring there. The First Amendment will not provide you a defense if you are otherwise not welcome on that private property. If a protest does spill over onto private property, emergency personnel don't have the right to consent on behalf of an owner of private property. The right to record is not absolute. It is generally subject to what are called content-neutral time, place, and manner restrictions. Those are incidental restrictions on speech. Restrictions that exist for some purpose other than telling you what you can and cannot say. So by way of example, an officer could close an accident scene for safety reasons, restricting the public's ability to record there incidentally, where the goal is not to restrict the recording, it is to secure an accident scene for safety reasons. Keep in mind that there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in public places, such as streets, parks, and large public gatherings. And that means that journalists are free there to observe and record what they can see and hear. And if the space is a public forum under First Amendment law, generally there are multiple types of fora. But the type that would normally be the site of a protest would be what is called a traditional public forum. That is a government-owned space that, as the U.S. Supreme Court has said, has been held open time in memoriam for expressive activities. So we're usually talking about places like, you know, public parks and sidewalks. And so if this space does qualify as a public forum, then you don't need credentials to gather news in those areas because you have the First Amendment right to be there, not necessarily as members of the press, but as members of the public, because in this area, we share these rights with members of the public. We don't have special news gathering rights. So journalists have general protections under the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable searches and seizures. They have additional protections under what is called the Privacy Protection Act. That was a federal statute passed in 1980, and it tells law enforcement officers that they have to get a subpoena instead of a search warrant to search or seize a journalist's documentary or work product materials. And you may wonder, well, why would that even matter? Why would I care if it is a subpoena rather than a search warrant? It might sound like a pro forma difference to you, a distinction without a difference. But in reality, it is an important difference. A subpoena is served in advance and gives you the chance to go into court before you would ever have to hand over the relevant materials and to challenge the subpoena and try to get it quashed, which means you would try to get the subpoena invalidated. If you do end up being stopped by police, ask the officer, am I free to go? If the officer says no, then that means that you are at least being detained, if not being arrested. And the officer has to have reasonable suspicion that you have committed or are about to commit a crime. And officers in rural areas, sometimes their departments don't have the same resources as a big city department would. And the resources typically dictate the types of training and the quality of the training that the officers can get. And that includes journalistic training and training in First Amendment rights of not only journalists, but also the protesters themselves. And so I think that you would not only have the individualized problem of an officer's attitude toward the press, but you would also have the issue of how well trained is that officer in the press's rights to cover an event, a protest or something else. And I think that could vary significantly by department. And I think one of the main variables there would be resources, and resources often are dictated by size. I used to give the advice that carrying credentials could never hurt you. And I still give the general advice that you should carry credentials. But the Occupy Wall Street movement changed my mind about that, the general advice I'd given previously, because I don't know if you remember this, but it was back in 2011, there was the main protest site for Occupy Wall Street was in Zuccotti Park in New York. And the police one evening, they did a street sweep of Zuccotti Park and arrested just hundreds and hundreds of people. And the police, when they came in, they asked all of the properly credentialed members of the media to follow them. And they basically put them in a holding pen. And the holding pen was kind of out of sight, out of mind. The street sweep was not visible from that location. The police justified it publicly by saying that they wanted to put the journalist in a place where they would not incidentally be swept up in the street sweep. But in reality, I think that if not the actual reason, at least an ulterior motive here was to move the press to a place where they couldn't capture easily the street sweep. The effect of it was most of the coverage that we had of the street sweep came from citizens who were in the middle of the street sweep themselves. I'll tell you the same thing that I tell all of my law classes. I come with a lifetime guarantee, so you are always welcome in the future to follow up with me or to run questions past me.